coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Gospel of Mark, a Bible study with Arno Bessel, pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of studies on the Gospel of St. Mark. The basic needs and challenges of human beings are the same all over the world and in all times. In the days Jesus lived and worked on earth, he met people who were ill and needed help. And so it is today. You or a person close to you may be ill right now and requires help. Let us then turn to Jesus, the greatest physician and the Savior, seeking his help. The account in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 53 to 56, encourages us in this respect. Jesus heals the sick in Gennesaret. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. Jesus and his disciples arrived in Gennesaret, a town on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee, between Capernaum and Tiberias. People recognized Jesus, knowing from previous accounts that he had compassion and healed the sick. So the whole region saw in Jesus' arrival an opportunity to bring the sick people to him. Interesting to note, the sick were laid in the marketplaces. Instead of the usual goods displayed in the market, Jesus found a multitude of desperately ill people, all seeking for his touch and healing. The great number of people healed here in Gennesaret contrasts with the few healed in Nazareth. People believed it was enough to touch the fringe of Jesus' garment. We find here in this account an encouraging example of great faith the people of Gennesaret expressed by receiving Jesus and imploring for his healing power. Even today, those new to the faith often exhibit more conviction than those who have known Jesus for a long time. The good news is that Jesus remains devoted to us even when our commitment wavers or fails. What are your particular needs at this moment? Take your cares and pains confidently to Jesus, for in him you find the best friend and the Savior of your body and soul. The evangelist Mark continues to lead us in the company of Jesus as he accomplishes his ministry. In chapter 7, verses 1 to 13, Mark tells us about Pharisees and scribes gathering around Jesus to question him. Traditions and commandments. Now, when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders, and when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' you leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do. The Pharisees were members of a leading religious group of the Jews known as strict followers of the law of Moses, the traditions and the customs of the forefathers. They became fierce critics of Jesus because they disagreed with his teachings and practices on several occasions. Jesus reproached them severely many times for their hypocrisy. The scribes, also called rabbis, were scholars of the Hebrew scriptures, particularly of the five books of Moses. In contrast to the sincerity of the crowds in Gennesaret, the adversaries of Jesus renew hostilities. Pharisees and scribes were sticklers for the observance of detailed interpretations of the law. Now a delegation is sent from Jerusalem to question Jesus. What was the big controversial issue? It was about washing hands before eating. The adversaries of Jesus saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. Since the Pharisees and all the Jews used not to eat unless they washed their hands, they found it offensive that Jesus did not require his disciples to do the same. Obviously, as a matter of hygiene, washing the hands before touching food is highly recommendable. But in this particular instance, the matter of debate was not so much about hygiene as such. It was a matter of ritual observance. Based on principles laid out in the Old Testament and traditions introduced over the years by the elders, the Pharisees required ritual washings not only of those returning from the market, but also of different cooking utensils and even furniture. Archaeologists have discovered ritual washing pools or tanks that held about 60 gallons of water, which would have been used for this kind of washings. So, sticking to their traditions, the Pharisees and scribes expected Jesus and his disciples to follow their ritual practices, especially those involving washings. Replying to the critics, Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah to rebuke the hypocrisy of the accusers. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. This passage from the prophet Isaiah contrasts insincere lip service with heartfelt obedience. The rebuke of Jesus is particularly aimed at the Pharisees' elevation of human tradition above divine commandment. Jesus goes further in his dealings with the Pharisees and gives a concrete example of their hypocritical piety. He describes them as failing to obey the commandment of honoring father and mother because they consider it more important to give an offering called korban instead of supporting their elderly parents. Korban was an offering above and beyond the tithes required by the law of Moses, therefore a practice introduced by man. In giving this offering, but neglecting the care for their parents, the Pharisees became hypocrites. Such piety is ultimately self-serving and a deception. Jesus argues that by this practice, the Pharisees made void the word of God by their tradition. In other words, a mere appearance of piety does not please God. He prefers that people simply obey His commandments. We also need to examine ourselves concerning the sincerity of our Christian teachings and practices. Sometimes we may place too much weight on man-made observances while failing to fulfill God's commandments. It is quite common people worrying more about human opinions than relying on what God teaches. Given our own failures in this regard, it is a good thing that the Lord not only commands in His Word, but also graciously forgives our transgressions. Jesus has more to say about defilement. This is what Evangelist Mark recorded in the Gospel, chapter 7, verses 14 to 23. What defiles a person? And he called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about a parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart but his stomach, and is expelled?" Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." Jesus does not simply refute and criticize the Pharisees. He also teaches the people the correct understanding of God's will and human nature. He calls everyone to listen and to understand. Jesus turns the Pharisee conception of defilement upside down. It is not what goes into a person that defiles a person, but what comes out defiles a person. Jesus' major concern is not the body, rather the heart. The close followers of Jesus did not understand fully what he was saying to the crowds. Once they got home, the disciples asked Jesus privately what he meant with his saying, "There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." The disciples showed lack of understanding on some occasions. Isn't that sometimes also our case? Jesus, however, is patient and explains his teaching in more detail. He clarifies that food considered defiled, particularly by the Pharisees in those days, does not touch the heart, and consequently it cannot defile the heart. By the way, Jesus declares all foods clean. In this respect, this teaching would affect the future missions of the church. It meant that people of non-Jewish origin would not be required to observe Jewish dietary laws when they became Christians. Jesus' point is that what indeed defiles is not what enters from the outside, but rather what lurks in the hearts of a person. Speaking about the natural heart of human beings, Jesus proceeds to an open heart surgery, so to speak. He scrutinizes the human heart and shows what by nature is in it. This is what the picture looks like. "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. 13 evil thoughts, attitudes, and actions are combined in a dreadful list of vices. The first 6 are in the plural form and describe behaviors. The last 6 are in the singular and have to do with attitudes. These vices leave no doubt as to the wretched defilement of the human heart. Is Jesus seeing too much? Is this the picture of my heart? Am I defiled? Jesus is the all-knowing God, and He is fair in His scrutiny. We are called by Jesus to recognize our condition and to repent of our natural nature. It is useless to insist in our own excuse-making. It is useless to blame others for our shortcomings and failures. The good news is that Jesus does not merely show us our transgressions and condemns. In His grace and mercy, He also indicates the means by which our heart is cleansed. Through the Apostle John, we are assured that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus continues on His journeys. Let us consider what happened next according to the report of the evangelist Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 30. The faith of a Syrophoenician woman. As from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. From the region of Gennesaret, Jesus moved to the region of Tyre and Sidon, two pagan cities along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. The aim of Jesus was not seeking popularity. He did not want to show off and be applauded for wrong reasons. So he entered a house and wanted to have some quietness. However, it proved to be impossible to remain unnoticed. In our days, paparazzi follow celebrities in every move. In those days, there was also a person who took notice where Jesus was. In this particular case, a distressed mother was longing for help. Her daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit. She must have sought help from other sources, but in vain. Now she hears that Jesus is at reach. So she comes and humbly falls at Jesus' feet. She was a Gentile woman, a person who did not belong to the Jewish chosen nation of God. The woman begs Jesus to cast out the demon of her daughter. She believes that Jesus can and will do this. What is Jesus' response? He says, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." At a first glance, Jesus' response is shocking. He implies the woman is a dog, which was a great insult. By dog is meant here a family pet, not a wild or street dog. Jesus also suggests that he would serve the children at the table first, namely the Jewish people. Does the woman give up in her plight and leave empty-handed? No, she doesn't mind to be characterized as a family pet. She says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." The woman expresses her willingness to assume even a most modest place within the household. In fact, Jesus was testing the faith of the woman and wanted to give her opportunity to express and exercise her faith. To this extraordinary faith of the woman, Jesus gives an answer. Jesus says to her, "You may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." The woman believed and went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. The Pharisees and scribes, even the disciples of Jesus, had failed to understand much of the teaching of the Master. However, this woman took Jesus at his word. In casting out the demon of the daughter of this Gentile woman, Jesus made it clear that his love, grace, and salvation are to reach all nations, all people, all cultures. No one is beyond the scope of his love and grace. That means that you and I are included. In the sequence of events, the evangelist Mark tells us in chapter 7, verses 31 to 37, about Jesus healing a deaf man. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Jesus leaves Tyre, goes through Sidon and arrives in the region of Decapolis, southwest of the Sea of Galilee. People in need come to Jesus or are brought to him. Among them, a deaf man who hardly could speak is brought to Jesus. It is well known that people unable to hear have difficulty in pronouncing the sound of words. To learn to speak, the ability to hear the sound of words is required. This man probably had been handicapped from birth, but he had friends who begged Jesus to lay his hand on him. Jesus deals with the man privately, taking him aside from the crowd. He does not want to show off, to get popularity. He wants to avoid misunderstanding about his identity. Jesus put his fingers into the ears of the man. He touches the tongue of the man. Touching made communication easier. Then Jesus looks up to heaven, sighs, and says, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Ephphatha is an Aramaic word. Aramaic was the language Jesus spoke. Later, the word Ephphatha came in use in the baptismal liturgies of the Church as a way to emphasizing the Spirit's power to open ears to the Gospel. Once more, the word of Jesus proved to be powerful. The ears of the man were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Jesus charged everybody not to spread the news about the wonder that just happened. He did not want to be seen as a simple miracle worker or a showman. However, it proved to be hard to keep facts and wonders in secret. we tend to share things that cause a deep impact on ourselves. Hence, we can understand the gesture of the healed man and the witnesses to the wonder Jesus performed, proclaiming the news. All were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This statement summarizes all of the works of Jesus. As we look into our life history, you and I certainly find out that Jesus did all things well. In His compassion, He has embraced us in difficult circumstances. In His mercy, He has cleansed us from our sins. In His love, He has provided for all our needs of body and soul. Thank you for joining us in the series of studies on the Gospel according to St. Mark. You are invited to tune in to the next study. We will continue to reflect on Jesus' teaching. He has a rich measure of love to share with you.
Thank you for listening to this Bible study on the Gospel of Mark with Pastor Arno Bessel. The podcasts of this program can be downloaded from our website at lutheranradio.co.uk. And for more information about Pastor Arno Bessel and St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon, go to lutheran.co.uk and click on directory. Check our program online and stay tuned for more.